Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Unmotivated Habits Podcast. Today's guest is Amanda Barr. Amanda is the co-founder of RTB Capital Group and the host of the Shifters Podcast, both of which we talk about on the show, as well as the idea of overcoming fear in business, which for me is a very fun topic to cover. And speaking of overcoming fear, my wife and I are expecting our daughter to be born pretty much any minute now. So if I go MIA for any amount of time in the near future, just know that it's for good reason. So now you know why. But as usual, thanks for listening to the podcast. And a special thanks to my listeners in New Zealand, because I got a notification that I have cracked the charts over there in the self-improvement category. So that was really awesome to hear. We are definitely incrementally growing this podcast, which is, you know, the whole point of the thing in the first place. And also, as usual, be sure to follow me on social media for all the latest updates. That is Unmotivated Habits on Instagram and Facebook, You Habits Podcast on Twitter. And if you want to follow along for some loosely related but mostly just fun content, feel free to join me over at twitch.tv/Zwift, Z-W-I-F-T, where I've been streaming my bike workouts, my regular workouts, and, you know, mostly that and playing some Super Mario. So it's a good time. So without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. Amanda, thank you so much for being on the program. I appreciate it. Since we first connected, I have very much been looking forward to this conversation. And when we spoke a couple weeks back, there's just so much we wanted to cover. So hopefully we can get to all of it. If not, you know, we can always come back for a second episode.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. And same here. I'm excited to be on the show and see what greatness we can bring out today.
Definitely. I know what we spoke about mostly was the idea of overcoming fear in business. And I know for you, it was kind of spurred, you said, by this idea of stealing from yourself. And you had you mentioned there was an interesting way you came to that realization. So could you explain how you came to that realization that you were kind of stealing from yourself, how you were stealing from yourself, and then kind of how you've applied that in your life since then?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes things happen in life, and sometimes we're looking at what's going on, and we don't really look at it in a way of like, what's the message? And I created an online program, and I sat on it for about a year and a half, and it was, you know, slowly putting everything together. But to be honest, I was really kind of afraid to let it go because it was a lot of, you know, personal work and it was putting something out there to the world that, you know, it's 49 videos and it's all about selling. And I was a little nervous and I didn't notice until I had this crazy incident happen where somebody had they broke into our back shed. They left, came back like 2 weeks later. I heard them outside the window. I like looked outside. I saw them out there and they left and then they came back again. And they were sitting there and I didn't know if they were going to try to break into our place, if they were going to try to go to the place next to us, but they were there. And I was home alone and I got, you know, my Apple Watch monitor went crazy. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. And they left. And, you know, you sit there and think like in that moment, there were so many different fears that were going on. And I was just trying to find meaning from it. Like what was happening? What was coming up after this whole incident? And after about a few days, it was like, you know, I just kept asking, what does it mean? What does it mean? And the only thing I could think of was you're stealing from yourself. Obviously, I was fine. You know, they didn't come back again. Everybody was fine. But that encounter made me realize that every day that I wasn't releasing things, that I wasn't doing things, it was like that. It was like you have a gift to give to the world and you are not giving it to them. You are stealing from yourself and you're taking that gift that you could give to somebody else from them as well. And now is the time to release it, let it go. Don't be afraid. Even in those instances where there's a lot of fear, you can find your strength. And kind of taking that fear and turning it into motivation and pushing when those people are out there, just like with my company and my business, like I didn't have to, if I did nothing, nothing would happen in terms of my business, but I had to get through the fear and push through to what was possible. And that was seeing that that motivator, that fear, I could make something happen and not steal from me or somebody else from the gifts that was available.
That is quite a scary way to come to that realization, but a very helpful realization to come to. One note is a lot of people, if something negative happens to them, they don't try to find any meaning in it. And they just, it's why me type of the why me type mindset. I like that you try to find meaning in things like that. I'm the same way. So I can relate to you on that. And it seems like so many people, pretty much everyone, that idea of stealing from yourself, it seems like it applies to almost everyone. If you just look at from a perspective of how much Netflix someone watches, or the amount of video games someone plays, that, you know, that one is for me. But you just think of all this time spent doing things that is really taking away from something bigger you could be doing or something bigger you could be giving. And I know you kind of transitioned into that world from the teaching world. I wanted to touch on that briefly because you were a teacher, and this is personal to me because my wife's a teacher. I know a lot of teachers, and anytime they want to consider, you know, changing careers, they say, you know, but I'm only trained to be a teacher. But my contention is that that trains you for so much, so much more. Can you tell me how that teaching career has prepared you for your role as an entrepreneur and in business?
Yeah. You know, teaching was probably one of the best times of my life. And I'm glad today that I brought teaching back into my world and coaching, because I just love it. There's something special about being in a classroom. And I always said, if you can keep a 14-year-old captivated and learning and moving forward, you can do just about anything.
That's true.
And one thing that was actually, I learned so many business lessons in the classroom. And that can be everything from, you've got to be on stage every day with those kids. You are, you know, doing activities, you're speaking every day, you've got to do the homework, you've got to present this, you've got to make sure they get through it and they're accomplishing their goals. And a lot of those things are the same thing in business. People set goals, they need to get to a destination. Obviously, a school year is 1 year, but those kids need to get through that year and move on to the next. And in business, the same thing. You're helping somebody get to where they're going and move on to the next. And in that space of being, pulling from that speaking aspect, pulling from class management, operations, you have so much behind the scenes you're doing and so much in front of the scenes you're doing. And I think it's one of the careers that is probably one of the best ones for business, because you're in the hot seat every day and you've got to also now talk to parents as well as take care of the kids. And it's just so dynamic. It's a dynamic platform. I'm forever thankful. I think that, you know, as we look back in our life, being an entrepreneur now, if you would have asked me when I was younger, you know, would you be an entrepreneur? I probably said no. I grew up in a family that you went to school, you got a job, you worked up the ladder, and that was the way it is. You made good money and you just kept moving up. And so I was on that trajectory. You know, I got a job in marketing. I wanted more passion. I went back to school. I got a teaching credential. I got into a school. I was teaching. I loved it, but I wasn't making a lot of money and I was feeling fulfilled in my life, but I wasn't feeling fulfilled that I was really able to do much beyond those four walls. Even though we were touching those lives of those kids and may each one of them be doing great things today. But I wanted to go beyond that. And so taking all that I learned, it was so powerful to be able to pull that into my next role. And then now as an entrepreneur. So I'm forever thankful to, hopefully that answers that question,
it
of
does.
how to kind of that in there. But each one of the things you do as a teacher is so applicable. Also, another thing, you have to create a lot of curriculum. You know, I remember when they said, can you, you know, these are your classes and here's your books. Good luck. And I was So they give you these books and they say, okay, go. And I was like, there's nothing else. They're like, what about all the activities? Now, writing curriculum and being able to create these different things, online courses, creating my courses, you know, actually was a lot of fun and took me back to the classroom. And what was I really good at? How could I make the course applicable to somebody's life, that it wasn't them just watching a video, they were actually applying it? So I think teachers are great for coaching, online courses, just about anything you want, you could do from that role.
Definitely. It really gives you a complete toolbox to use in the business world. I always think if my wife was plugged into any job I've ever had, she would excel at it because of what she has to do on a daily basis. Everything you just mentioned there. It's crazy what teachers have to do.
I think the only thing though that I'll add in there is the belief. And this is one thing I teach in the Sales Ninja course that I created, was when you don't grow up in entrepreneurial and it's about, you know, I need to make results happen. I'm a time and effort person. I put a lot of time and a lot of effort, and that means something because I get paid a paycheck, right? My time and effort makes sense. But in the entrepreneurial space, it's all results. If I'm not producing results, nothing's happening. I'm not making money. So believing that you are worth the time that you give, that you can charge what your time is worth, and believing that what you're offering is going to solve a problem, make a difference, then that whole switch of like, okay, what I'm bringing, I can charge a price, and that price is worth something. And that person that's doing it, I'm going to do everything I can to bring them the results they want.
Yeah. And I'm sure you suffer from a little bit of that imposter syndrome. I know from people that are in that world now where your worth comes from, you know, you determine your worth by how much you charge. Sometimes it takes that first customer to say, sure, I'll pay you that. And you're like, wait, what? You'll actually pay me that much to do this? And it's like from there, once you give them that benefit and they're like, that was great, then you start to get that belief in yourself and you start to charge more and you're worth more because you're doing a better job. It's really a snowball effect from there. But that brings me into, I was listening to one of the episodes of your podcast, Shifters. I'll give a shout out to the Shifters podcast. Everyone go check it out. But the episode I was listening to was recalculating your GPS. And it was a really great analogy about how the old GPSs, you'd be on the highway and then inexplicably it would take you off onto some dirt road and you wouldn't know how long this dirt road was going to last when you get back on the highway. But you've been taken off course, but you kind of went off course on your own to this new venture. Can you tell me what you're doing with RTB Financial Group and the Sales Ninja training courses and things like that? Who are your customers and how are you helping them?
Yeah. You know, thank you for that GPS. It was kind of a passion. You know, you're on this journey, and you know, when you think about business, it's a marathon with a lot of sprints in between. So our sports fans out there, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to get there and I'm going to get there quick. Well, you're going to get there. You might get to one destination real quick, but you're still going to be running and it's going to be a while. And you got to keep up with that endurance. But what are we doing now? So we've been in the run for, I launched in 2018, and, you know, we launched as a business consulting, tech, media. We do a lot of different things. And, you know, one question always comes up is like, what's your core competency? And what are you really good at? And coming from, you know, having a lot of different services for people, and how does all that really make sense? How do you pull it all together, I think, is what most people wonder. But really what set into this last part of 2020 and going into 21 is, we're really like, what am I really good at? What are we really good at is, we can run your business for you, run that back office from, if you have an operational need to a marketing need to a tech need. We're really great for companies that, one, don't have those internal staff members and they want it, but they don't want to hire them full time because they don't need it. maybe they might need just a website, or they need social media, or they just want to grow, you know, their lead gen, or they want to, you know, the full year together. And it really is a nice, flexible platform for people to go, well, okay, I'm here. This is my goal. I want to get there. What do I need to do to get there? What needs to happen to get to that destination?
So do you help them? I know a lot of people trying to get things off the ground, or even can you help people to with that initial launch as well? Because I know we talked a lot about overcoming fear in business. A lot of people are just afraid to take that that first step. Do people come to you and ask for your help in that as well?
Yeah, I actually have a program that I, you know, when I first launched RTB Capital Group in Consulting Group, I had this, are you ready for a startup? And I kind of put it on the back burner for a while, but I brought it back because there's really a few key areas to look at in yourself if you're really ready to have your own business, and that's mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. And so I take them through this kind of, it's really kind of pulling out from inside of you. So if you're saying, oh, I want to do it, but you don't know if you have really the finances or the runway to do it, or how can I get the money? It's always how can I, not I can't. And so it's a little bit of mindset, a little bit of working through those tough questions. Have you had the conversations? Are you emotionally, mentally, physically ready to work potentially long hours? So yes, we can work everywhere from, am I ready to have a company, to we have a 100-day launch program. It's called the Build 100, and you can literally, we can work on it's a guided program to literally launch your business in 100 days, pulls everything in that you need to work on and do. And you've got, you know, a startup consultant that's working with you step by step of the way. And that helps you get through that initial and also any of that fear and doubt. And if you're like, I'm not ready for that even. Like, I just have so much fear. You can go through our Shift 100, which is really just pulling yourself out of the fear and doubt and really facing it head on and working with me for 100 days to get through that. We set goals, so you actually are accomplishing things in that time period. And it might be for your business. It might be your idea, working through your idea, but it's really working on the fear and the doubt. So when you get through that program, you are now confident and already accomplishing things, and then can seamlessly move into starting that business. And that would be the next program if you decide to keep with us, obviously.
So without giving too much of it away for free, what are some of the fears that people have to overcome to make those initial steps? And how do you suggest they overcome those fears?
Yeah. So, I mean, to run down a list, I mean, everybody's got their own fear. I mean, if we went through all the, you know, phobias out there, I mean, we'd probably be here on a whole podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
but some of the traditional, like what most people fear is the fear of sales. Like, I'm not a salesman. I don't want to be seen as that person that just comes and says, I can do this for you. Will you buy it? I think that's kind of the natural one. There's some people that are just fearful of the phone. If you were to say you could do everything via email, they'd be like, great, I can do this. And it's knowing like, what are, I think the best way to go about this is really just those listening, like to ask that question to yourself, like, what are you afraid of? What holds you back? What's the fears? And really just be honest with yourself. And then being able to write those out. My three things to overcome any fear is your belief. So it all starts from our beliefs. And if you look at it as, I can believe this, and it's only true as long as I believe it. So if I believe I cannot have a successful company, guess what? You're probably not going to have a successful company because you believe it. Yep. But if I believe that I can do it. Like, if I just pull all the pieces together, I can be successful. I don't know how much maybe at this moment, but I know if I can set some goals, I can accomplish them. And I won't set them so far away that I can't reach it. I'm going to set them where I can work through them daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, until I reach that goal. So belief is one. You have to take action. If you don't take action, you know, it's a dream. It's just a dream. You're dreaming. Mm-hmm. Thing that's not going to happen unless you actually put, you know, boots on the ground, turn the wheels on, whatever you want to call it, start the run, actually can be tracked. It's just, you know, you're going to just be thinking I'm doing a good job. And trust me, I've been there. I've done it. I'm only talking from experience. You're going to spin your wheels and it's going to be really frustrating. And you're going to go, well, what am I doing with my life? Is this really what I was called to do? And it could be exactly what you're called to do. It just might be a change of focus.
Definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned all those things. A lot of them are pretty much the pillars of what I'm trying to do with the Unmotivated Habits philosophy, which is to set achievable goals that you can work through in the short term and the long term, and then just getting started, doing something. So doing something every day that works you towards that goal, just so you don't get stagnant. Just having little goals and hitting those little goals is such a big deal in life and business.
Yeah. And that was another reason why I really wanted to be on your podcast, because I love that. I think that, you know, your passion for those little goals and accomplishing things is right in line with what we believe too. So I love that you're doing that for people and helping them just kind of take, we always say like every step counts. And if you think about that, it could be a baby step and it could be a freaking long leap, but everyone counts.
And there's nothing wrong with far exceeding the goals you've set for yourself. That's something that people need to get used to. Just set a achievable goal, and it just feels great to hit it, and it gives you the energy and the motivation to move forward. That's what I've been doing with my podcast, with my fitness goals, with everything. So in business, it's especially important. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I want to start asking everyone that comes on, is, do you have any favorite, you know, books and courses you've taken yourself along the way that have helped you? Anything where you that gave you some like aha moments?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I read things and I watch things and then I forget like who was it, but there's things that stand out. But one of the books that I'm reading right now is just The Quantum Mindset. I never really got into that. People say, oh, I just, you know, believed it and it could happen. And, you know, these things just have, and I'm like, okay, I got to really figure this out. Like, what are people really doing? So The Quantum Mindset in a nutshell, I'm reading this book right now by Mr. Thompson. And he talks about this, and his is kind of that same, I said, belief, action, results. And his is belief. And it has an acceptance part, and you're supposed to rewrite your rules. And he says that you make rules when you're like a kid, and these rules, you believe them through your life. And they could be from your parents. They could be from experiences. They could be from these things, but that with this ability that we have inside of us, that, you know, anything is possible, but we've got to believe it, we've got to accept it, and then we've got to take action. And so that's his three: belief, accept, and take action. And he had a crazy story, and he lost his wife, and he was in a very dark place. And he said after he started looking at what's the science behind what we're doing, and how our mind works and how much power we have, our thoughts become things. Like, if you really think about, I had this saying, think, say, be. If we really are focused on what we're thinking, because that's where it starts, to what we say, to what we do, that it then it's become so powerful from just our thoughts. And our thoughts is where we're in our head most of the time. So if I can transform my thoughts, and his is all about that thought, like you're able to really tap into creating what you want in life, starting from where we in our mind.
That's something, I haven't read that book yet, but I've read a lot of books along that same idea. And I love it. I full-heartedly go by it and believe it. And I think what a lot of the naysayers, which we probably both were at some point, to such philosophies don't understand, is that there's also science behind that, where if you have your focus on something and you believe in something, you're going to start working yourself towards those goals without even realizing. Every decision you make is going to subconsciously put you closer to that goal without you even recognizing that it's happening. So at the end, it might seem like, wow, I just believed something and it came to be, but you've actually done it yourself.
Right. I love that. You know, I was looking at, there's this Instagram handle and a page, and it's all about the law of attraction. And they had this video, and it had Jim Carrey, and everybody that has seen his story, you know, he wrote himself a $10 million check and by he had that. That's what his first movie, Dumb and Dumber, paid him or whatever, probably more. But to see that again today was kind of like that, you know, it's yeah. like the messages. You come back and say, we're getting messages all day long in different ways. And that was that reminder again. That's like, you put that intention out there and you work towards it. You, again, he didn't do nothing. He put action into it to make it happen. So anything is possible if we believe and we do something with it.
Absolutely. And yeah, that belief is so important. And there's so many stories like that, that kind of affirm that idea. And it's worth a shot. Like for anyone who's listening, it's like, no, but they're sitting on their couch listening. It's worth a shot. It's worth a try. I'm trying to think of one of my favorites. It was, I think Kid Rock, some reporter said, did you ever think in your life that you would become this famous and successful? And he just said, yes. Yes, I did.
Right.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
One of the personal, there's a couple personal questions kind of unrelated to everything we wanted to talk about that I wanted to ask. And one of them is, you started, if I'm not mistaken, you started RTP Capital Group with your husband, correct?
Yeah. So we do work together, and we actually have a sister company. And RTB, just so those out there listening know, RTB stands for Raise the Bar. And our last name is Bar. And my husband's a former bodybuilder, so it's a kind of a fun play on words. But RTB Financial Group, he runs RTB Financial Group. We work together on it. And then also RTB Capital and Consulting Group. So we're like all one in the same, all in the
yeah.
same.
So what is it like working with your spouse? What are some of the challenges you guys have faced over the past few years, if any? I'm sometimes things just run smoothly, but is there are there specific challenges to running a business with family?
Oh, it's absolutely perfect. I don't know what you're talking about. No, of course there are. I mean, when you're with some, the beautiful thing, I will say this, the beautiful thing is, you know, when you get into a business and you are working long hours, to be able to do it with somebody you love, how great is that opportunity to work with somebody? Now, of course, with that, you are together a lot. And a lot of, you know, couples we've met that work together are like, you know, they all have their own little things. But I think the glue that keeps us together and keeps us working well is we both are really great at just having conversation and communicating. Because between expectations and what's happening and what's not happening, you can have expectations of the other person in their role, what they're supposed to be doing, how it's supposed to go. But having that conversation, and also having, we have these like weekly meetings, check-ins of what's happening, where things are going, and then what are we working on? That has helped us a lot. But yes, I mean, we could probably talk a whole hour on all the different ways and different things to of working with your spouse and how to do that powerfully and how there are breakdowns and how to come back together and yep. and be able to move forward.
Yeah, I work with my dad, so I can relate in a lot of ways, because I mean you talk to people you love more frankly than you ever would a business partner. But I think that leads to better business. It's like iron sharpens iron type of thing. You can really hammer ideas off of each other without holding back. And it's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah. I will say one thing that is, if for those that are listening, that either want to work with their spouse or, you know, that are in the process of it or have been for many years. For me, it's don't take it personal. Lot of things, you know, I'm more on the emotional side of, you know, the spectrum. Obviously, he's more analytical. He's a type, you know, type A, so I. We're both that, but he's more direct than I. And so when he says something, it may not have an explanation. It may just yeah. be very like the frank, like this is what it is. Because if I don't take it personal, it's just what did he say? And then what did he mean behind what did he say? And then usually when I hear what did he mean, it was sometimes different than what did he say. And yeah. then we're able to really get to how can what was said really make an impact, and also am I just, you know, taking it personal? And then what is the remedy? How can we move this forward? Why is it being said? You know, where can I take responsibility for something? And yeah, you've got to be honest and vulnerable and say, yeah, that sucked. I didn't do that right. And that's where you've got to really kind of let down the guards and just say, we're in this together. And if we're going to do this together, how can we do it the best way possible? And then move forward.
And you can kind of apply that to not just the business relationship, but the relationship as a whole. Not taking things personally if they, you know, weren't meant. Just trying to decipher what someone meant versus how you took it is often a challenge in any relationship.
Right, right. The asking that question, what did you mean, is really awesome. And another thing is, like, just pause. Sometimes I'm very quick to have a comeback, right? Or to say something back quick. But sometimes just pausing and thinking about it, like, What do I really want to say? Like, really, like, instead of just being a reaction, what is it? And then talking. This is what I'm still an ever working process of the pause.
That is something I did an episode. I'm forgetting who the guest was, but we spoke a lot about how important that pause is before in any aspect of conversation with anyone. How important that 1 second of pause is before responding, to give your brain a chance to decipher what the person meant and giving it the proper time that it deserves, giving your response the proper time it deserves to come out.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that was a good one. I should go back and listen to that one myself.
it was helpful. I have to remind myself all the time. I wanted to end with, before I get everyone all of your information where they can find you. So when you started this business a few years back, is there any advice? What's one small piece of advice you would give someone starting a company? I know you've mentioned a bunch already, but what's one small piece of advice you'd give someone starting their business today that you wish you knew when you started?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I'm gonna pause. If you're passionate about what you're doing and it's not about you, and what it's really focused on, what you can do for somebody else, it's really something special. When I really got hold of, you know, this isn't about me being successful, this is about me helping somebody, when I switched the focus from, you know, I've got to make this and I've got to do this, to these are the people I'm working with and this is who I want to touch, and this is the result is I want them to be in a better place than ever before. And the more people I talk to, the more opportunity that might be for somebody else to transform their business and grow. And, you know, when your focus changes and your passion is greater than your fear, so I'll bring fear back in. When your passion is greater than your fear and it's about somebody else, you are unstoppable. It's just how much you want to put in of time, money, and effort.
When your passion is greater than your fear, you are unstoppable. That is a really great message. That's something I feel like I should put on the wall behind me. I love it.
Yeah. But yeah.
Love that.
It's so good. Yeah.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the show. I very much appreciate it. There's plenty more we can talk about. But in the meantime, where can everyone find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So the easiest place to find me is rtbconsultants.com, or you can do rtbcapitalgroup.com. They both end up in the same place. If you are looking for sales training and sales strategy and coaching, that's RTB Sales Ninja. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm there. Obviously, I'll give you my links. You can catch the information. And I look forward to seeing what we can do for those that are listening, and how we can raise the bar and take you to the next level.
I look forward to it too. And thank you again for coming on.
Hats off to what you're doing and the great work you're doing for people.